Could I just start as the outsider here, really, the visitor from overseas, by saying how lovely it is to be here with the qualifications that Glenn Lowry has mentioned, and particularly how nice it is for me to be back in Stanford. I was a visitor here in 1992, and I like to think that that was actually the origin of my interest in comparative criminal justice, because I was borrowing the office of an absent faculty member, James Whitman, who, of course, later became famous for a marvelous book on the historical and comparative origins of American harsh justice. So perhaps it was the aura in that office that got me interested in this. I feel pretty diffident being part of this conversation, because I'm really not an expert on the American prison system in the way that all my colleagues on this panel are. But I think my role is to put in some observations from the point of view of somebody who's a comparativist and an interested and concerned observer. And I'm simply going to make three sort of brief points from that perspective. The first is really a piece of academic tourism, really, but here's the observation for what it's worth. I agree with Joan that there is wide awareness in this country of the fact of mass imprisonment, to some extent the costs of it, the scale of it. My impression, however, is that it is less widely appreciated and less widely debated how exceptional America is, the United States is, in international comparative terms. This country really is an outlier to a quite extraordinary extent. If I can just illustrate this with an anecdote, not long ago I was at a lecture which Bruce Weston was giving at a very, very good university with a very educated audience in this country, in which it was absolutely clear that when he put up the simple chart that shows graphically the scale of American imprisonment in relation to that in countries at similar levels of economic and social development, there was real surprise around this very educated audience. So let me just give you, you're probably well aware of it, but let me just give you a few headlines to bring this vividly to our minds. The imprisonment rate, obviously imprisonment rate per 100,000 is a crude indicator, but it's a useful one. The imprisonment rate in this country is almost six times higher than that in Canada. It's five times higher than that in the UK. It is about eight times higher than that in the corporatist countries of Northern Europe, like Germany. And it's about 10 times higher than most of the Nordic countries. Now, I think that although the phrase American exceptionalism is perhaps overused and often underanalyzed, this does justify the term American exceptionalism. This is an unprecedented experiment in what we might call mass internal exile. And of course, the sheer numbers are not the only relevant issue here. I'm not going to talk about it here, but obviously some of the qualitative aspects of imprisonment in this country in terms of quality of regimes and rehabilitation programs, the whole issue of disenfranchisement and long-term disenfranchisement in many states is really quite extraordinary. My second point is really just to note that this has not always been so. Leslie Berlewitz has already mentioned the penitentiary reform movement. This country has a very, worthy and respectable history in penal reform. But as Glenn was indicating, there has emerged an extraordinary mismatch between that distinguished history and America's conception of itself as a land committed to freedom, to dignity, and the facts of imprisonment. And to take another, a more recent indicator, if you go back as recently as the early 1970s, your imprisonment rate here was 1.5 times that in the UK. Today, it's 5 times that, despite the fact that our imprisonment rate has doubled during that time. So we're not doing well either, but nonetheless, the difference is extraordinary. Now, the final point I want to make is really to sound a note of caution about the implications of these comparative facts and obviously much more detailed comparative research. It's obviously tempting, it would be lovely if it was the case that we could go and do studies of these countries which have managed to keep their imprisonment rates stable during the era in which they too have been suffering shocks and social changes of an economic and cultural and political kind that appear in this country to have been involved in producing this mass imprisonment. It would be lovely if we could go to Sweden or Denmark or Germany and see how they do it there and simply import the institutions. It's obviously one of the reasons we're interested in comparative research, but of course it doesn't work like that. And it doesn't work like that for a very simple a fact that's simple to state but hard to unravel, and that is the fact that we all know that the criminal justice system is not an autonomous social institution. It operates in a complex environment, a cultural environment, a political environment, an institutional environment. What's more, those features of the environment interact with each other, so that each criminal process is part of a sort of highly interlocked institutional social system. We obviously should try to improve the situation through changes to the criminal justice system of the kind that Joan Peterselio has already alluded to, but we have to think about the broader picture as well. Now, we have to think about welfare states, for example, something which has featured a lot in Bruce Weston's work. We have to think about how social inequality has been produced and become so extreme in this country. We have to think, I think, even about perhaps less obvious things like the way in which your electoral system works and the extent to which elections are directly relevant to the delivery of criminal justice. I think all these things are important. Now, I'm not meaning to in any way cast a damper here on the idea of that we should be seriously and immediately and urgently concerned with policy development, nor do I think that comparative research is irrelevant to that. What I think that comparative research helps us to understand is how these extraordinary differences have been produced, and in doing so, to really understand a lot more about how the criminal process interacts with these other political, economic, and social institutions. Only if we can begin to understand these things better than we do will we be in a good position to think sensibly about those broader policy questions, which I think must also be on our agenda.